Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Well, it's prime time at the 2021 session of the North Carolina General Assembly as lawmakers work to wade through hundreds of bills on a host of important and controversial issues. Recently, I got a chance to discuss some of them with one of the legislature's rising stars, State Senator Natalie Murdoch of Durham County. Among other things, we talked about the so-called Momnibus bill that Murdoch and others are pushing to address the state's troubling health statistics for new mothers, particularly moms of color, and the ongoing debate over elections and voting rights that's become one of the session's most hotly debated topics.
Well, Senator Natalie Murdoch, welcome to News and Views. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. Looking forward to the discussion today.
My gosh, there's so much we could talk about. It's such a busy time at the North Carolina General Assembly, but I really want to focus on some of the important legislation you've been leading the charge on in recent weeks and hopefully in weeks to come. And one of those deals with a topic that doesn't get enough attention, I'd say, right now, and probably never has gotten the kind of attention it deserves. And that's the question and the issue of maternal mortality, the problem we still have of women not getting proper health care when it comes to childbirth in our state and nation. And this is a problem that particularly afflicts young women of color. Talk to us about some of this legislation that you've been proposing and some of the things we need to do to address this problem.
Thank you so much. And you really hit the nail on the head. This issue does not receive the attention that it deserves. And I actually campaigned saying that I wanted to draw more light to this topic. And we're just coming off of Black Maternal Health Week, which was actually created to shed more light on this issue. And we're reminded that every birthing person deserves access to quality, affordable reproductive health care, and that includes safe and respectful maternal health care. Mm-hmm. And despite spending billions of dollars annually on maternal health right here in the U.S., we have the highest maternal mortality ratio in the developed world, and North Carolina actually ranks 30th among other states. And Black women specifically are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications than Black women. And we are disproportionately impacted by maternal mortality and morbidity. And to reduce that and really close that disparity gap in North Carolina, we wanted to move forward with proposing a package of legislation that would address the root causes that really, lead to maternal mortality here in North Carolina. And the March of Dimes has actually given us only a D+. So this is an issue where I have reached out not only to my colleagues, but majority members to say, you know, we see these numbers. We're not going in the right direction. It's time that we act and do something.
I know Congresswoman Adams has also been championing this issue at the national level, but I know we need to study this. We need to get into it in depth. Are there some ideas we have? I know there's a clear problem when it comes to sort of the bias that's there sometimes in the providers and the care that they provide to women of color, perhaps unwittingly and unintentionally, but it's still there. I take it that's among the issues that we would study and hopefully address.
They are, and thank you so much. North Carolina's own Congresswoman Alma Adams and Lauren Underwood, who is a nurse and also has a master's in public health, they filed a federal momnibus along with now Vice President Kamala Harris, who just last week also continued to hold roundtables to see what could they do at the federal level. And we in North Carolina as legislators were already supportive of that legislation and said, well, let's file a North Carolina version of this momnibus, being optimistic that federal legislation will move forward. Senator Sidney Batch, as well as Senator DeAndre Salvador, and in the House, you have Representative Carla Cunningham, Von Hafen, Hawkins, and Austin. We all have been working together behind the scenes for weeks to roll out what we are referring to as Momnibus, and it will highlight 4 specific areas. As you mentioned, we have to do much more than just study this issue. We need to look at social determinants of health, and I've also had a lot of conversations with my colleague Senator Robertson about this, who also has a lot of experience with this, is we need to look at the environment that these mothers are living in. Do they have access to transportation? Are they home secure? Do they have access to the best nutrition? These are all the different factors that can impact your ability to have a healthy birth. And we also need to support community-based organizations. I will mention one specifically, equity before birth. This is an issue that's also tied to paid leave, where unfortunately mothers sometimes have to go back to work too soon. And her organizations, a part of what they do is literally provide mothers with the supplemental income they need to stay home if their jobs don't allow them to do that. So we want to continue to support those community-based organizations. We want to look at implicit bias in healthcare. Duke Hospital and University are in my districts. We are a world-renowned healthcare facility, and pretty much all of our different systems have to really work to tackle implicit bias. We're seeing that women of color that have comparable education and health statistics comparable to white women are still just dying at higher rates, and the same for their children. I want to share a heartbreaking story of Tamika Isaac, who luckily has been featured during this rollout of the bill, and her health condition could have been identified with a simple urine test that just simply did not occur, lost her child, and she was full term. We also want to look at maternal support during COVID-19. Another tragic story. I have a family friend in her 30s that was positive with COVID-19 while she was pregnant and was far along in her pregnancy, became sick, had to be on a ventilator, lost her child, almost lost her life, and was airlifted to Duke Hospital. So we have seen very specific issues women are facing during COVID-19. Again, Black and Latinx women are even more susceptible to these complications. Then we're also looking at support for moms who have served or are currently serving. In North Carolina, we have a huge military presence, and we also have found that there are very specific challenges that our veterans face when they are given childbirth. So I've actually received feedback from some of those veterans that said, thank you so much for acknowledging that we have very specific challenges that need to be addressed. And proud to say that North Carolina is only the second state in the nation that has filed a state-level Momnibus Act.
Wow. We sure wish that bill a good reception in the General Assembly and you good luck in getting it to push through. I know it's a challenge sometimes in our divided General Assembly. We're talking with State Senator Natalie Murdoch of Durham County. There's a lot of bills I'd like to ask you about, a couple that leap to mind in addition to this very important Momnibus law, which has a very catchy name, is the whole issue of elections right now. We're talking about really some basic debates about the nature of democracy in America and in North Carolina, access to the ballot, voting rights. They all seem to have come back front and center. We haven't seen yet the kind of broad-based assault on voting rights in North Carolina that we've seen in other states, although there have been proposals in that regard. But you've got an idea of maybe pushing things back the other way when it comes to the day that we generally go to the polls.
Absolutely. I am proud to be one of the primary sponsors, along with Senator Garrett and Senator Woodard, that serves with me in Durham County, to make Election Day a holiday. I think a huge barrier to voting is folks are busy, and sometimes that voting day sneaks up on you, myself included. I've been guilty of having to take my entire lunch break to vote in a primary that just slipped up on me. I was at work and had to leave. And luckily, I've had that flexibility, you know, with my employer. Everyone doesn't. And so we think a great way to relieve that barrier would be to make Election Day a holiday. And also, a number of my colleagues have great proposals, such as automatic voter registration. We want to make sure to preserve provisions we had during the previous election cycle so that you provide for more time for your ballot to be received. Mm-hmm. One of the proposals that's really concerning to us that's in a package that's being pushed by the majority is a provision that says even if your ballot is postmarked, it will have to be received by Election Day. We find that to be really concerning because we've seen delays in mail, literally not joking with you, I just received a return piece of mail that I sent in November to an individual, and it is just getting back to me this week. So we still have mail delays that folks can't always anticipate. And so if that provision was in place this previous election cycle, over 15,000 ballots would have been disregarded and thrown in the trash. That is not acceptable. And we don't need to create more barriers to voting. We need to make sure that everyone that wants to vote has the ability to do that. As you mentioned, we haven't seen falls that are quite as bad as some of our neighbors, but the session is still ongoing. You don't have the same deadlines on election laws as you do when it comes to filing, so we're still keeping an eye out, but still will be vigilant in making sure that everyone that wants to vote has the right to do so. That's the very basis of our democracy. So we will continue to show up every day and advocate for all the people of North Carolina to have access to the ballot.
It's an important one. A couple other issues I want to touch base with you, with Senator Natalie Murdoch in the time we have remaining. One is the whole issue of how we're funding our state government these days. We know that the amount that we've been investing in public services and structures in our state as a share of the economy has actually been declining for years and years, and that probably explains why our schools are in many instances crumbling and so many other core public services and structures. And yet we've seen new proposals to cut taxes still further, even on the wealthy who are doing really, really well right now, for the most part, in our sort of very divided economy. Talk to me a little bit about the legislation you all have proposed for a tax plan that would bring about a just economic recovery in our state.
Yes, I was very happy to join Senator Wiley-Nickel in filing a tax plan for a just recovery here in North Carolina. This bill alone will provide $1.7 billion in equitable revenue, and we will use those funds to invest in education in our local communities to provide more affordable housing. I wish as the General Assembly we would do a lot more for affordable housing, better infrastructure. As we know, we have a number of deficient bridges in our state. We need to retrofit a number of our physical structures that provide us with clean drinking water. So I'm thrilled that we will see some movement at the federal level, but at the state level, we need to pay our fair share, and numbers show us that folks can't afford to do this. As you mentioned, particularly the top 1%, they are bringing in record revenues and they can afford to pay their fair share. I do believe that we have an upside down tax policy here in our state, and that will really primarily only impact the top 1% and the personal income tax changes paid by the top 5%. And we also have a corporate tax percentage that is the lowest in the South at 2.5%. And so even if we raise that to 5%, it still would be one of the lowest in the South. So just the ability to kind of restructure our tax code will allow us to do a lot of what you said. The Leandro case shows us that we are failing our students. We have a constitutional provision to provide all of our children with a sound basic education. And if we are always speaking to not having the resources to invest, we actually do have the resources if we have a more equitable tax structure so that we can particularly invest in even things such as TAs and school nurses, having more psychologists in schools. All of those will cost money. And we know that if we move forward with this tax plan for just recovery, that we can afford all of those provisions, and our children deserve that now more than ever, coming off of the COVID-19 pandemic. We need to do everything we can to invest in our children and our future generations.
Well, the last question I want to ask you, Senator, is about sort of high-profile and frustrating fights we're having in the General Assembly and in a lot of state legislatures these days over LGBT rights. We've got actually proposals coming to try and restrict the benefits and the equality that's afforded to transgender people. We know that LGBT people in general are not treated equally in our society. They can still be fired because of who they are and who they love. And I know you've been a strong supporter of the Equality for All Act. That's a bill, obviously, it'll face an uphill fight in the General Assembly, but it's one that we need to discuss.
It is, and it is the right thing to do. I cannot believe in these days and times we are still dealing with an unprecedented amount of discrimination against those that are LGBTQ. You know, most recently there was a couple that unfortunately wasn't even able to have their ceremony in a location in Wake County. You know, you wouldn't expect to continue to see that. So was proud to sponsor the Equality Act for North Carolina, as well as all four of the bills that will provide more equity and just equal treatment of all people. I'm proud to be a part of all four of those bills. That also includes the full repeal, clean repeal of HB2. And honestly, when I look at the emails I received from constituents, I have received letters from so many concerned citizens, as well as parents whose children are transgender. And it's just really uncalled for. There is no need to attack these children and to assault them. And I was honestly pleased to see some recent polling that showed the vast majority of actually registered Republicans did not support what I think is a particularly harmful bill to not provide health coverage and health care for young children that are transgender. I mean, why would you deny anyone access to health care? So that one in particular, I think is really, really cruel. The same for sports, you know, let them play. Is you know, the phrase that we're using of children need to have access to all extracurricular activities and should not be treated as if they are second-class citizens within their schools and communities and should not be treated any differently. So it just, unfortunately, is HB 2.0 and was entering the session not thinking that we would be here again. And there's so many other things that we need to be focused on with the American Recovery Plan. We have unprecedented revenue and the ability to do so much good for our state. And these are not the types of battles that we should be engaged in. The people of North Carolina deserve better. They need support. They need relief. We are on the verge of an unprecedented housing crisis, and we need to focus on providing support and resources to the people of North Carolina when they need it most.
Senator Natalie Murdoch, you've got your work cut out for you, and as do your colleagues, but we really appreciate that you're in there doing the people's business at the General Assembly. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll check back with you later this year and hopefully celebrate some victories. But thanks again, and take care.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Coming up next, Duke University researchers tell us about ghost forests and why they've become a big and troubling problem near the North Carolina coast. Stay with us.